Okay, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Well, we've been looking at this letter for quite a while now, and we finished the verse 1 and 2, which is the greeting section of this letter. We learn that in Christ we are the saints, the faithful ones, and we are in Christ. We are united to Jesus Christ, and grace and peace are ours in Jesus Christ. Now, last Thursday, we started looking at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there we were so amazed that in verse 2, God is our Father, but in verse 3, God is Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw how then Christ and us, we are brothers. It's just amazing. Anyway, we saw that, and we are looking at the this blessing that He gives to us, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. He blesses us, but He blesses us in Christ. If you look at very carefully, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So, when we talk about Christian blessing, we always have to talk about Christ, because apart from Christ, only thing that anyone will receive is the judgment of God, because no one is righteous, not even one. The Bible clearly states. So, if we are talking about blessing, then we have to talk about that blessing in Christ. So, there's two kinds of blessings that we could talk about, right? The common grace. And I don't like this title because of the word grace. Because common grace refers to what? The blessings of God that God gives to anybody, whether Christians or not. So, remember, how did we define grace? Can anybody tell me? Grace is... We defined it as demerited favor, right? Not just unmerited favor, but demerited. So grace is always connected to salvation. And here, even though this word is included in this title, common grace, but that has nothing to do with salvation. That's why I don't like that title. That's not in the Bible. Common grace, that title is not in the Bible. Somebody just made that up. But it is referring to the love that God shows even to non-Christians and also to Christians. Special grace, then, is God's love that only God gives to Christians. So here, then, When Paul speaks of blessing, which one do you think he is referring to? Which one is referring to? And still no answer. Man, you guys are just, yeah. I know the school began and, you know, you use too much brain today, right? So you don't want to use it anymore. Come on, you got to use it. All right. Here, we're talking about the blessing we receive in Jesus Christ. It is spiritual blessings, not the blessing of this world. Old Testament, when we look at blessings of God in the Old Testament, what do we see? I told you this many, many times. Old Testament is what? It's heavenly things expressed in earthly things. That's what Old Testament is all about. Because Jesus Christ had not, He's not, you know, come yet. So the heaven has not come yet. That's why the heavenly things were expressed with the earthly things. So in the Old Testament, if you are blessed by God, what is the picture? You're wealthy. You're rich. Because heavenly blessings were expressed in earthly things. Because heaven has not come yet. But when heaven came with Jesus Christ, we no longer express heavenly things with the earthly things. Why? Because heaven has come. The real thing has come. So we need to express heaven with heavenly things. But the problem is that heavenly things are not visible. See, that's the problem. That's why, you know, when somebody tell you, okay, show me how God is blessing you. Well, it's very hard to show. Because heavenly things are not visible yet. In the Old Testament, you could do it like, yeah, show me how God blesses you. And you show how big house you have and big car you got. You go, hey, this is how God blesses me. But you can't do that anymore. Because now we receive the real blessing, the eternal blessing, not this temporary blessing of the world, but the real one, the true blessing, spiritual blessing. Things like eternal life. But how do you show eternal life? Well, we will be able to show them eternally. But you can't really show it right now. You know, how do you show spiritual resurrection? Yeah, I'm resurrected spiritually. Do you see it? Yeah? See, that's why people who are so focused on this world, they don't like the message of this, our religion. Because they want this world. That's all they want. They even come to church. Why? Because they want this world. They're thinking, ooh, if I go to church, God will give me this world. Which He never promises. But here, He does promise one thing right here, very clearly. We receive all spiritual blessings. Right? See, Old Testament, that age has passed away. The new era, new age has come in Jesus Christ. And in the heavenly places, it says. If you go down to chapter 2, verse 6, it says that we are seated in the heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Where are you seated? I ask you this many, many times. Where are you seated? And you say, I'm sitting at this chair in this room. Ah, see, that's your temporary reality. But that temporary reality will only last for a little while. Because when Jesus comes back, You're not going to be sitting in that chair in this room. There's another reality that Jesus Christ has already accomplished for you, that you are seated in heavenly places. Again, problem is that I don't see it. No, it's not about seeing. It's about believing. Go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. During this church age which you belong, it's all about faith. It's never about sight. But that faith will become sight when? When Jesus Christ returns. But right now it's all about faith. We live by faith. It's not something we could show. It's something we believe. See, so people who are so focused on this world, they don't care about belief. They want to see it right now. They want to touch it. They want to possess it in a worldly sense. That's all they want. They want money. They want power. They want wealth that they could touch. So when we talk about spiritual blessings, they go, what is that? I can't even see it. But Jesus Christ is offering the spiritual blessing, eternal blessing. But see, right now to the world, that worldly things are more important. But just wait. Everything that you see in this world will be completely destroyed. When Jesus comes back, He will judge this world completely. But for you, there's another world that He prepared for you, forever, eternal world. So even though you feel like you're missing out by just possessing the eternal world, and you don't have this world, you feel like you're missing out, but just wait a little while. Really doesn't matter how much of this world you have, it will be all gone. For eternal time, it's all about how much you have in the other world. Because there you're going to spend your eternity. Here, maximum 90 years? I hope not. Like 70? That's more sound much better. 90, that's too long. But look at what these people do, man. They eat or they whatever, so they could live long time here. I don't mind living, you know, healthy, so that you could really able to work, you know, for glory of God. But just living long time, why is that good for us? Just like Paul, don't you want to go home? I mean, if God calls me now, don't we want to go home to see Him face to face? Because He is your everything. But when we talk like this, people think we're like nuts, you know. What is, they're talking about death. They're talking about like dying early. Yeah. Anyway. So, our citizenship is in heaven. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, our citizenship is in heaven. Do you know that you are a citizen of heaven? The ultimate blessing that the true Christians want is spiritual blessings of heavenly realm, heavenly blessings. But that's not what we see in the churches, right? Whenever I hear like prayers of somebody, I don't wanna listen to other prayers, other people's prayer. But in Korean churches, I can't help but to hear it. They just like, they tell you what they're praying about, man, so loud. I'm like, oh man, I try to be concentrated, okay, I'm gonna pray, but man, I'm like, I'm hearing all these other people's prayer. Anyway, but when I do hear them, their whole prayers are focused on this world. It's not about spiritual blessings, the ultimate blessings of God. 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter. Not like, Peter Kim is First Peter and Peter Kwan is Second Peter. But, that was dumb. That was really dumb. Man, it's being recorded too. Boy. First Peter chapter 1. Verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to obtain, what? To obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Do you hear what the Bible says? The blessing is all about the inheritance that you receive from God. But what kind of inheritance? Earthly? No. Something that is imperishable. Earthly wealth, earthly goods, it's not like that. Undefiled and will not fade away. And these blessings are reserved in heaven for you. Store up the treasure in heaven, God says. Because the place where your treasure is, also your heart is. If your heart, if your treasure is all about this worldly treasure, then your heart will be in this world. Because there is where your treasures are. But if your treasure is in heaven, then your heart will be in heaven. Because there's where your treasure is. Colossians 3. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, all right? How many of you are raised up with Christ? All of you. Thank you. Then, if that is true, then what? Keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. We're different from people who belong to this world. Go to Philippians, which is right front of Colossians. Philippians chapter 3. See, when I say like, we're at the Colossians, and I go Philippians, and you go like this, then I know you don't know where it is. You have to go this way. See, I see these things. My, yeah. No, just kidding. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 18. For many walk, or whom I often told you, and now tell you with even weeping, this is very serious, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, I mean, you could be called many things, but to be called as an enemy of Christ, enemy of the cross of Christ, I mean, there's nothing worse than this, right? We agree with this. But who are these kind of people? Who are these kind of people? Verse 19. Whose end is destruction? Yes, these people who belong to the world, their end is destruction. Whose God is their appetite? Their stomach is their God. Remember John chapter 6? They followed Jesus because their stomach was filled. See, that's their God. Maybe, I shouldn't say that. I was going to mention something about other religion, but you know. All right, so their appetite is their God, and whose glory is in their shame, and what? They do what? Who set their minds on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, and from which also we eagerly wait for a Savior. See, we're different from these enemies of the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Their whole focus is about this world. I mean, even reason for coming to church is to gain this world, which Christ never promises. Look at what the Bible teaches you. Don't be fooled. Listen to God's word. But it says, our text, blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing, not just portion of it, but every spiritual blessings. Nothing is lacking. Nothing. Go to Romans. Chapter 8. Verse 28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son, so that He will be the firstborn among many brethren. Now go down to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him over for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? Understand the argument there. If God gave His own Son, why would He hold back anything from you? But when you think about the blessing of heaven only in terms of this world, we are lacking. Ha! Even non-Christians, they have more than us. If a blessing of God is only in terms of this world, then our God is ridiculous. Because He gives His blessing more to non-Christians. What kind of God is that? But it is Christians, it is those who go to church who make God that way, who teach God that way, ridiculous God. Because they teach that blessing of God is all about this world. And when the non-Christian like Bill Gates hears it, and he hears it and go, huh? Your God is ridiculous. Because I don't even believe God and I have more than you. Ha! Your God. Exactly. Who makes God like that? It's the people who go to church. Because they teach and they want the God who blesses us in earthly things. Yes, He does. He blesses us with earthly things, but that's common grace. He does that to non-Christians also. So when we talk about Christian blessing, when we want to put that word Christian in the front, you could only talk about in terms of heaven. Because if it's an earthly thing, then it's not really Christian. It's just everything. Non-Christians have it more. Really? If going to Harvard is Christian blessing, then our God is ridiculous, because you go to Harvard and you see more Christian there than Christians. More non-Christian there than Christians. Are you lacking anything? Bible says He gave you every spiritual blessing. You have it all. Nothing is lacking. So don't go out there act like you're lacking. Man, that's what really, really frustrates me, because these Christians, they always be like, oh God, I'm lacking. And they pray because, oh God, you gotta give me this, give me that, give me this, give me, God, I'm lacking. We laugh, but you know it's true. But we're not lacking. God is our shepherd. And we lack nothing. And you need to show that. Even if you got nothing of this world, even if you don't have anything of this world, you get, I have everything. And they're going to laugh at you. They're going to go, oh, what do you have? Show me. And you go, I can show you, but I have everything. I know. I believe. That's why we're going to be laughing stock in this world. But it's true though. Even though they're laughing at us, we speak the truth. Just wait a little bit. Wait a little bit and let's see who's laughing. I don't think we'll be laughing in heaven looking at people who went to hell going, no, I don't think that's the case. But you know what my point is, right? You know what I'm talking about. We speak the truth, but the world will never, never acknowledge it. They will not. So please, brothers and sisters, understand. God gave you Himself. God gave you His own Son. There's nothing that He will withhold from you. But you say, I'm still lacking, because you talk in terms of the world. But why? See, it's not that He feels what? It's not like He doesn't want to give it to you, the worldly things. I mean, it's no big deal to God, man. He could make us a trillion, you know, wealth or whatever. What do you call those people who have $1 trillion?
Billionaire.
Billionaire? Okay. That didn't come out right. All right. Anyway. People. Okay. Now where am I? I'm sitting in heavenly places. Ha ha! All right. He could make us like that, man. He could give us everything that this world has. It's nothing for him. All you have to do is go like that. Not even like, he just thinks it. And, hey, then we have trillion dollars. But why does he not do that? Because what is his purpose? His purpose is to make you like Jesus Christ. Because you remember Romans? We read chapter 8. Read it again. All right. Here. Where is it? Verse 29. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brethren. His purpose is to make us like Jesus Christ. And it is our honor to be like him, to live the very life that he lived. And when he lived a life that he says things like, I don't even have a place to lay my head. Fox has holes and birds has nests, but I don't even have a place to lay my head. But when he said that, was he complaining that he was lacking so much? No. Just like all of us, even if we don't have anything in this world, remember, you have everything in Jesus Christ. Every spiritual blessing that God is able to give. And reason why even in earthly things you lack, so that you will be like Christ. That's why if you go down, verse 35, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? See, understand what he's saying. It's not saying that if you believe in Christ, these things will not happen. No, it's actually saying it will happen. But even if it does happen, will it separate you from the love of God? No, that's the argument. This will happen. Tribulation will happen. But that tribulation, even as it is happening, is not a sign that God is not loving you anymore. Even if you don't have anything in this world, that is not a sign that God does not bless you anymore. Even these things will not be able to separate us from the love of Christ. Verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So Paul is telling you that these things will happen. But don't think. See, like that's what happens. You know, somebody like their whole business bankrupts. First thing they say is, oh, God does not love me anymore. And it's more dramatic than this. And God does not love me. But think about it. Think about that. Is that what it means? God does not love him anymore? Just because he bankrupts? Even if... Man. Well, even if I get hit by a car today as I go out in the parking lot, boom, and even as I die, do I say, God does not love me anymore? I make it like that because it's ridiculous. Because our blessing is spiritual blessing. So in the eyes of the world, even if I'm like, you know, just suffering to the maximum and I'm just persecuted so much, whatever happens, I still have every blessing of heaven. And God still and will forever and ever love me in Jesus Christ. He has blessed us. See? Past tense. You already have them. All of it. And our response, just like Paul, praise be to the God. Blessed be the God. We praise Him. And that's what Paul does in the beginning of verse 3, which you already saw. Now, we're going to go down to verse 4. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we will be holy and blameless before Him, in love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. All these blessings that we've been talking about from verse 1, how did all this come about? What has happened that we receive all these things? What has been accomplished? By whom that this is true of us now? That's the question that Paul answers from verse 4 all the way down to verse 14. In answering this question, what happened? What has been accomplished that we received this kind of blessing? By whom? Some people, in answering that question, start from ourselves. Things like, because I believed, because I did this, because I believed, because I whatever, that I now receive this blessing from God. I know you will meet those kind of people so many times out there. But not Paul. Read it from verse 4 all the way down to verse 14. He doesn't start from there. He starts from God, not man. All these blessings are ours because of what God has done for us, not because of what we have done. Read it. Read the Bible. Does it talk about what man had to do to receive it? Does it talk about what man has done so that he now received this? Look at how Paul speaks. He tells us what God has done even before the foundation of the universe. That's why all these things are now true of us. Because of what God has done. The Bible is not about what you have to do. It's never about what you have to do. It's about what God has done. That's what He wants to tell you. What He has done for you. What He has done in your place. What He has done. What He has accomplished. That's the focus of the Bible. But that is not what you hear so many times. It's all about what we have to do. What can you do? I mean, if it is about what we have to do, then what can you do? No, you do one thing very well. You sin. Right? You sin. What else can you do? Yeah, nothing. All you could do is sin. So how can even in salvation, in talking about how we receive this blessing, how can we start from ourselves? Because only thing we could do is sin. How many righteous person in our history from the first to all the way? How many righteous? One. You? Who is that? Jesus Christ. Bible says, none righteous, not even one. I mean, if none righteous, not even one, then how can we talk about what man has to do? When we're talking about salvation, how can we do that if none of them is righteous? Because if we talk about what we have to do, then we're all going to go to hell because we just sin. See, this is the misunderstanding, miscalculation, misestimation of how we are as a sinners. We think we're good. That's what I found out, you know, so many people, well, not so many people come to our church. You know, just very few people come to our church and I talk with them. And I ask them, are you a murderer? They go, no! Are you an adulterer? No! The Bible says, you are a murderer. See, how does God see and how does man see? It's not the same. And which one is the truth? How God sees you. See, in your school, even non-Christian might think you're very nice. But apart from Christ, God sees you as a murderer and adulterer. Bible clearly teaches that. If that is so, how can we talk about what man has to do in order for him to receive salvation? That is the most, I don't want to offend so many people. It's about what God has done. Even before we are born, even before the universe was created, God did something. And by that, by what God has done, our salvation comes to us. Understand? If God had not done that, what He had done, even before the foundation of the universe, no one will be saved. I don't care how good you are. See, when we talk about our salvation, looking at your eyes, and everything is shift over there, man. All right. He has chosen us before the foundation of the universe. If we want to talk about our salvation, the very first thing you need to talk about is what God has done even before anything began. Before the foundation of the universe, you were on His mind. He thought of you. Ooh, man. Can you just think this? God loved you even before the universe began. He had you on His mind, and He loved you. And He wanted to make you His sons. That's how our salvation begins. He has chosen us before the foundation of the world. See, there are two kinds of Christianity. Said it wrong. Because one kind is not really Christianity. There's only one Christianity and there's a false one. Everything is about this. Is it by works of men? Or is it by grace? Grace, how do we define it? Demerited favor. That even though only thing you really deserve is God's judgment, God still blesses you. So is it by works of man or is it by grace of God? Go to Romans. Chapter 11. Verse 6, but if it is by grace, it is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Very, very clear verse. I want you to memorize that verse because it's very, very important. According to the Bible, the works and grace, they're opposite. They're antonyms. I was going to say antinomians. That's... Anyway, they're opposite. Because if it's grace, then it's not works. If it's works, then it's not grace. That's why you need to really understand. Is our salvation by works or grace? It's grace. Bible clearly says it. So if anyone speaks of our salvation in terms of what we have to do, so we do and God responds, it's false. It's God does and we respond. Not we do and God respond. See, this Arminian understanding of salvation is that man does something and then God just kind of waits and whatever man does, then he just responds to what man does. If he believes, then he saves. If he doesn't, then he can't. Even if he wants, he can't. God is going, oh, please believe. I want to save you. I want to save you. Please. But he doesn't. He doesn't believe, so he goes, I'm God. I can't save him. What kind of God do you believe? What kind of God? But my God, your God, if He wants to, He has power to do it. And He does. And He will. If He wanted to save me before the foundation of the universe, no matter how much I resist, no matter how much I say no, He will save me. Why are you laughing? I'm trying to be very serious and you're like all laughing. I hope you're not laughing. Let's hope. That's why I don't like, you know. So I have to pretend, you know, cool and all that. Really, God, if God wants to do it, He will do it. What do you mean that I could resist His will? That even though He wants to save me, but He can't because I say no. I say no and He can't. Oh, yeah. That's what they're saying. No, it's not according to the works of men. He chose us. He predestined us. You know, it's so funny because so many people say, I don't believe in predestination. Hello? Bible says that you're predestined. What do you mean you don't believe it? Oh, okay. You don't believe God. And what can I do then? If you don't want to believe God, then what can I say to you? Oh, I believe God. But not just His, you know, I don't believe His word. Bible says that you are predestined. What do you mean you don't believe in predestination? What do you mean? It is so amazing. The Bible, even Bible even uses the word predestination and they still say, I don't believe it. Well, end of the conversation right there, man. What can we say? What more can we say to these kind of people? If they don't want to believe what the Bible says. But it's not about what Bible says, right? It's about how I feel. I get blessed. I mean, they hear this kind of preaching. And they're just emotionally all, you know, they cry. But these people, they go to movies, secular movies, and they cry. They even hear some good music and they cry. Maybe it's just one of those. What is real blessing? You know, so many people say, oh, I was so blessed. And I ask, what does that mean? I'm blessed. What does that mean? You know, I cried. You know, I was like, I feel good. Yeah, you do that at some concert, man, secular rock band. You know, I feel good, and I'm, you know, are you blessed? What is real blessing? What is the purpose of real blessing? So that you may be like Christ. And how can false teaching can make you like Christ? I don't know. It's all about what the Bible says. That's why I want you to ask, always raise your hand. Pastor Young, where is it in the Bible? Show me. I want to see it myself. Don't just listen to me. But nobody does that. Because you all know that it's in the Bible, right? Yeah. Please ask, because you make sure that whatever is taught here in this church is from the Bible. You make sure of it. Because you cannot blame me when you go see your God. You know, Pastor Young, he taught me wrong. You cannot do that when you meet your God. It's your responsibility. Make sure. How do you do that? You ask. Where is it in the Bible? Show me. Explain to me so that I may understand it and know it. Now, for next, quite a bit, 3, 4, 5 weeks, we're going to speak on this matter. Because Bible is dealing with this predestination. Bible is dealing with how even before the foundation universe, God chose us. So we're going to talk about this issue, this Arminian and, you know, versus Calvinism understanding of salvation. We're going to talk about that issue. So come with questions, please ask, because this is very, very important. Because when we talk about heretical views, so many people have understanding that heretics are someone who sell their houses and they gather in a one tent and they're just waiting for Jesus to come back. That's heretics. But when you come to the Bible, the heretics that Paul argues with is Arminian understanding of salvation. That's what Paul is doing. You read it. Read Galatians. Read Romans. Well, what's Paul's argument against? The Arminian understanding of salvation. That's exactly what Paul is arguing about. Biblical heretics. Okay. Let's, you know, I got the sign. It says end. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that you would continue to bless us with the knowledge of your Son, that we may know clearly the truth, and the truth will set us free from the world, sin, and Satan, that we may be free, have the freedom of heaven, freedom in Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we want to know you more and more. And we thank you that even through this Bible study, it is very clear that you do care for us and you teach us. Let us be more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.